the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
John Gibbons with us for our weekly last word on the environment. And on a number of occasions recently, you and I have spoken about whether maybe nuclear power might be a good idea for Ireland, even though it's not allowed in Ireland. Well, not allowed directly. We're not allowed to manufacture, so to speak, it, but we do import power from other parts of the world, which is nuclear generated. And there's legislation in place since 1999 to stop it. And last night, when Minister Peter Burke was here, I put it to him that the boss of Airgrid, or the chairman of Airgrid, recently suggested that we should be looking at nuclear again because of our need to decarbonise, and he shot it down immediately. So then today I read France and Switzerland had to shut down their nuclear power plants in recent days because of the scorching heat wave, and that made me think, maybe they haven't got to the safety issues with nuclear yet. Maybe it is too dangerous to be introduced into Ireland.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. It is. It's disturbing, all right, to see nuclear power, which has been, I suppose, the backbone of clean energy systems in, for example, in the US, in France and in some other European countries that adopted it. And a lot of countries adopted it back in the 1970s in response to the oil shocks at that time. France in particular really went gangbusters on nuclear.
I think about 25% of all their electricity is nuclear generated.
France?
Yeah.
It's actually just over two-thirds, about 67%.
But then it's Europe maybe.
Yeah, right across Europe, that's correct. Yeah. In fact, in the US, it's about 20%. So France has got 57 reactors, Matt, in total, in 18 power plants. And, I mean, it has been one of the great success stories of France has been that not only have they had reliable nuclear power, but they've had cheap electricity. In fact, France is a major exporter of clean nuclear electricity.
Including to us. And we have a new interconnector at the moment coming along as well, which means that, I suppose, the ultimate Irish hypocrisy, just like, you know, we don't want to be part of any common defence and things like that. We don't want to have nuclear generated on our own island, but we're quite happy to purchase it and use it.
I suppose if we were to split hairs, you might argue that solar power is also as a result of nuclear energy from the sun. You might say the same about photosynthesis, but that would be probably taking it to the next level. But sure, it is interesting as well, by the way, Dara O'Brien, our Environment Minister, he has also ruled out nuclear. So I think there isn't many things that Irish politicians agree on, but this opposition...
afraid to even have the conversation, yeah, for in case they'd be accused of trying to, what way things were at current point back in the late 70s, early 80s. They're afraid that wherever you would actually try to locate, and you can have smaller mini nuclear facilities now. It's not like building the giant facilities that they used to be in the past. The technology has developed, hasn't it, as well, that you can have smaller nuclear.
Well, yeah, these are a technology called SNRs, which are small nuclear reactors. They were much talked about, and obviously smaller nuclear reactors have existed for decades in, for example, nuclear submarines and nuclear aircraft carriers. But the development of small nuclear reactors on land has been very patchy, Matt. It really has. I remember bigging it up maybe a decade ago, but I've kind of been checking back on its progress, and it seems to have run into the sand. There's simply no pathway to deployment. And it seems like, for example, if you're building, you know, a solar farm, for argument's sake, right, and you build a small solar farm, all the kind of costs with that ratchet up because of the small size. With nuclear as well, if you want to build it at an economic scale, you build it big. So the SNRs suffer from really lousy economics. It's an attractive idea, but the economics, the only place they work is in the military, where they just don't care about what things cost, right? So I don't think nuclear is riding to the rescue, but it does beg a very serious question, and I'm sure some of your listeners will be wondering why we're shutting down nuclear power plants, and essentially
because of the heat.
Yeah, correct. Well, what happens is these nuclear power stations in France and Switzerland are located along rivers. They draw in river water, they use that for cooling, and then they eject the cooled water, at least the water that has been run through the nuclear power station, is then ejected back into the river. Now, what we're seeing in France, for example, are water temperatures in rivers hitting 28 degrees centigrade. Now, if you had a shower this morning, your temperature was probably close to 28 to 30 degrees. So we're talking about rivers, Matt. running inland rivers running at a temperature similar to what you'd experience in a shower. And the problem here is that the nuclear power plants can't take in water above a certain temperature. Also, of course, if they heat that water even further and dump it back into the river, they're going to kill all the aquatic life in the river by changing the temperature gradient of the river. So the issue really here is there isn't a plan B for this, because those plants were specifically located along major rivers. For example, like the Garonne, they were located along these rivers because that used to provide this cheap and easy source of cooling. Because the big issue with the nuclear power plant is you need reliable cooling. And we all know what happens if you don't have that. And essentially,
that then becomes an argument that you're better off locating things like nuclear reactors in Ireland, where we have lower temperatures than on continental Europe. Just in the same way that the argument has been, we're better off, if you're going to have data centres globally, you should have them in Ireland, where they don't need as much cooling down.
Maybe. I mean, the argument will go on. For example, Japan, the infamous Fukushima reactor was located close to the sea for similar reasons, again, for access to water. And we see what happened there. That was taken out with a tsunami. So they are problematic. And I think for me, as somebody who has kind of spoken in favour of nuclear power over the last decade and more, I've kind of changed my tune on this, Matt. I would say it's not just because of the massive problems with nuclear. And there's no getting away, by the way, from the fact that nuclear proliferation in the world is a problem, right? And nuclear energy and nuclear weapons have never been disentangled, right? Countries that have developed civilian nuclear programs almost always develop nuclear weapons in tandem with these nuclear programs. So they tend to go side by side. So that's probably the reason why.
I can't imagine we're ever going to start developing nuclear weapons here in Ireland, John.
I certainly hope not. But I think probably the critical change for me is, first of all, like as we've described, nuclear, this Achilles heel of temperature management is really, it's a massive problem. And remember, whatever temperature we have in Europe right now, Matt, in 5 or 10 years, it's going to be much worse.
Okay, but let's talk a little bit more about nuclear, because I think China has invested significantly in nuclear, and we keep hearing about China adding new coal electricity production plants, but yet what China really seems to be doing is investing in solar.
That's right. And some of the statistics on this are simply jaw-dropping. Now, in May 2025, China crossed a threshold. And if I take you back to 2010, in 2010, China deployed its first gigawatt of solar energy. And in May 2025, they deployed their first terawatt. In other words, they increased their solar energy in that 15 years 1,000-fold. Now, I'll try to explain briefly what I mean by a gigawatt and a terawatt. A gigawatt of energy is a bit bigger than the largest power station you can imagine. So in Ireland, for example, Money Point used to be our biggest power station. It was about 900 megawatts. So think of a gigawatt as a very, very big power station. So a terawatt is 1,000 very big power stations. So what China has deployed now is the solar-powered equivalent of 1,000 conventional power stations. But what's really incredible about this, Matt, is that they deployed over 90 of them in just the month of May 2025. Now, for context, they deployed as much renewable energy in May 2025 as Poland, Sweden, Norway, or the UAE has in total on its electrical grid. So if you take Ireland, for example, our total electrical grid is about 5 to 7 gigawatts. They put on 90 gigawatts of solar and wind in 1 month. So the thing about China is they have a sort of a go big or go home approach. And what we're seeing is America is, as we know, abandoning science, abandoning technology, and essentially going down the antediluvian route. And they have left the way wide open for China to emerge as the new technology powerhouse of the world. And the rate at which the Chinese are doing it has no precedent.
And you know, the fanboys for Elon Musk go on about Tesla changing the world when it comes to electric vehicles. But the reality is, he's only trotting behind what the Chinese are up to with cars, isn't he?
That's right. At the moment, 70% of all the EVs in the world are coming out of China. And we had an incredible statement the other day from a guy called Jim Farley, who's the CEO of Ford and the quintessential American motor corporation. And he essentially said that China is handing us our ass. He said they're absolutely wiping the floor with American companies in terms of the EV market. He said it's the most humbling thing I've ever seen. 70% of the EVs in the world are made in China. He said they're far superior in-vehicle technology. He said they're just powering ahead. And it is a great irony, Matt, that probably the only American-made car that anybody drives in Ireland today is a Tesla. And of course, Tesla has imploded for all the reasons that have been discussed here many times. And of course, Trump and his big ugly bill has further undermined and destroyed the solar renewables and electric vehicle market in America, probably done permanent damage. And it is remarkable for a country like America to have stumbled into this amazing lead with electric vehicles, to throw that lead away and to hand the market back to China. Incredible stuff.
Okay, let's spend a little while talking about seabirds, Irish seabirds, and the identification by Birdwatch Ireland of crucial areas for conserving Irish seabirds.
Yeah, this is a report that was published today by Birdwatch Ireland, and essentially what they've done is they've identified a total of 73 coastal strips for bird biodiversity. And these are the criteria they are called are Important Bird and Biodiversity Areas, or IBAs. So what they're looking to do is to set up these series of protected areas in maritime areas for our seabirds, because to do the numbers on this, of our sort of 24 major seabird populations in Ireland, 23 are considered to be in what's called unfavourable conservation status, which of course is code word for endangered. So they're being hammered, Matt, through a variety of forces. Number one, overfishing around the Irish coast means that the birds, their ability to feed themselves and to feed their young is being compromised because the seas around Ireland are being emptied by trawling, and of course further damaged by bottom trawling. That's the first thing. The second thing is we're losing a huge number of seabirds to entanglement in nets. We're also getting predation of their nests. So for example, inundation by things like ground nesting birds are very vulnerable to rodents. So you've got areas which previously would never have had rodent or cat problems now. So ground nesting birds have no protection against them. So we're seeing that. We're also, of course, seeing marine pollution, and we're seeing climate change. So these are all pressures bearing down on our seabirds. And if I can include a small little bugbear of mine, one of my many bugbears, Matt, and that is when people are walking their dogs along the beach and the seafront, and you see it so often in Ireland, please, please keep your dog on a leash, because your dog wants to go and chase birds. These seabirds are either feeding or they're resting. And these are migratory species in most cases. And if your dogs are harassing them, even if they don't physically get to them, they can exhaust them and they will lose condition.
Sorry, hang on. Isn't that been part of nature always, that animals chase animals? Haven't there always been dogs, going back millennia, who would have been chasing birds?
Of course. But the problem now is, of course, we have vast numbers of dogs. And the problem also is that the seabirds, they're safe areas where they're free from interference. Human interference and other interference have been drastically reduced. This is the issue. So it's really just common sense. We all love our dogs and all the rest, but just use your... I've actually done this, believe it or not, once or twice, gone up to people on the beach and said, look, would you mind? And what they just...
What sort of response do you get?
Well, actually, funnily enough, I was expecting a PFO, but in fact, I generally got the response of, I had no idea that was a problem, right? So I said, thank you very much, and went on my way quickly before things changed.
Turned into the PFO.
Well, exactly. But no, I think if you approach people in a reasonable way, they will generally respond in a reasonable way. But you need to pick your fights, as ever, Matt. But to go back to our seabirds, as I say, we have this IBA that I refer to. It's not specifically a legal designation, but it does have some standing at EU level. And I think the purpose of this report is to, I suppose, to first of all, to improve our awareness of the threats facing our seabirds. And also, as part of this, Birdwatch Ireland today launched an interactive map on their website, which will allow people to go and have a look and to see where the different bird populations are, and to get a much better sense of it. Because I think an awful lot of people, we see these birds obviously passing by, we see them in the distance, but our awareness of their habitats, of their habits and so on is very, very limited. So I think the work being done by organisations like Birdwatch Ireland is absolutely critical in making sure that, and we are, remember, we're an island nation. So our seabirds are as absolutely integral to our culture, to our traditions and so on. And they're in trouble, and we really need to help them out.
We'll leave it there. What did you say the website's called?
It's Birdwatch Ireland.
That's simply .ie.
I imagine it .ie. If you just type that into your browser, you'll find them.
Thank you very much, John Gibbons.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.